Interesting passage this morning that we want to share with you from the Gospel of St. Mark. St. Mark, and I think I've got my passages all, the chapter reference should be chapter 7, verses 36. So you ignore the 8, just pretend it's a 7. Amen? But in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, beginning with verse number 36, "And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." He charged them that they should tell no man. I want to preach on the message, disobeying orders. Right. Disobeying orders. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this great day that you've given. We thank you for this time of worship that we can join with your people, pray unto you and seek your face. As a matter of fact, you've said in your word, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Father, we ask that you forgive us for our disobedience. Help us in hearing your word to become doers. And Lord, that we might perform those things that you would have us to do. We love you. We praise you. Speak to our hearts now. We pray this in Jesus' strong name and for his sake. Amen. Disobeying orders. When I first read this passage, I thought to myself, well, why did Jesus say to them, "Tell no man"? You will come across scriptures like that in the Bible, and what causes you to want to study and learn more about God is that you start with the question, what is God saying? What is he saying, and why is he saying these things to us, and what can we do about it? What can we do about it? If we read scripture without any effort or without any question as to what needs to change about me, we can become religious but not right. We can hear but not really listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. I want to share with you today that there's a danger in not obeying orders. There's a danger, and Jesus said to these people, he spoke to them in this passage, I don't want you to tell anyone. And so as we investigate this, we have to think about why would Jesus say this and what is the impact if we don't do what he said we ought to do. Now, as I look at this subject, I'm automatically drawn to think about my years of military service where we were required to follow orders. You had to follow orders. If they gave you an order, then you were to carry it out. Any military people in the building. So we got some folks that have served. You understand, most of the orders had to do with written orders telling you to go to this duty station. And if you did not go, then you were considered absent without leave, or you were considered to be in violation of the military code. Were there implications to that? As a matter of fact, if you did not report as you were required, you could be thrown into the stockade in jail. And so it is that there were consequences to not obeying orders. If a soldier does not obey orders, then every soldier just basically does what he wants to do. The men and women in our military would become undisciplined. This would be a crisis on our part as a nation, because now we don't have soldiers or the military to defend our national interests. There are consequences when orders are not followed. There are consequences when orders are not followed when it comes to business operations or employment. What if you showed up to work when you got ready? All right. Did what you wanted to and left when you felt like it? No order, no discipline, nothing to follow. Well, you wouldn't have that job long. They would find a way of getting rid of you and finding someone who would follow orders. It's a part of our business operations to go to someone and then to say to them, I want to order this service or this product. And I expect it to be delivered at a specific time and in a certain manner. Don't send me a blue shirt if I've ordered a white shirt. Don't send me a size 48 if I said 42. Because that product would not do me any good. So when the placement of an order is made, you expect for someone to then fill the order. Why is it that we can say orders ought to be followed? And that applies to the military. That applies to employment. It applies to service and product delivery. But why is it that when it comes to God, God says, these are my commands? And we say, that's nice, but we're not going to do it. God says, thou shalt not covet. And all the time, you know, we spend our time, well, I sure would like to have what they have. You shouldn't gossip. I'm just sharing something about their need. And we find a way of getting around, conveniently getting around and getting away from what God says, and he commands, he charges us what we ought to do. Disobeying orders. And I can tell you that the same way that there are consequences with the military, consequences in business, there are consequences when we don't obey and when we don't follow God's instructions. We cannot disobey him and there not be some implication in our life. This is why we come to church, because we want to learn to hear him better, to hear him more clearly. Now, let's just kind of clear the air. All of us, every one of us, is guilty of not following God's instructions at some point or other. But what we want to do is to correct that. We want to put ourselves in a position where we are listening to God and then we are following what God has said. The writer James, in his epistle, he tells us, don't just be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. So we've got to sit here today and we've got to think about it. All right, how have I not followed God's instructions? What can I do about correcting that situation and walking closer with God? Let's deal, first of all, with the issue of disobeying him. All of us have disobeyed. One of the Psalms says, we've turned everyone to his own way. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, as Romans 3 tells us. Why do we disobey? Well, we think that our way is right, that what we are doing, and we're so smart. As a matter of fact, we studied this thing. We're thinking that our way is right. Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So once we get back and we find out, that's not working out. Let me tell you something. Let me give you a clue. Anytime you choose to do anything other than what God has said, you've automatically chosen the wrong way. Amen. You ever seen these signs that says wrong way? Mm-hmm. You know, it's usually a one-way street. And I found myself one day facing traffic. And as I faced the traffic, I automatically knew I was going the wrong way. In our lives, when we are facing the issues and all of a sudden things that ought to be going one direction is going in another direction, that's a good clue that you're going the wrong way. That you've made a decision that you're not following what God has said. He said, this is the way. Walk in it. Not only do we look at the issue of going the wrong way against God, but we also think about the fact that here's a merciful God. Here's a God that when we are wrong, God doesn't say, well, you know what? I'm just going to write you off. I'm going to forget about you. I'm not going to even think about you. Here is God saying, let's talk it over. Now, he already knows that you're wrong and he's right. But this God that we serve is not only a God of righteousness, he's a God of mercy. Psalmist David, he puts it into this context in Psalm 23. He said, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He's leading you in to do the right thing. So when you feel God working in your life, that's God leading you to do the right thing. He's leading you in the path that he wants you to walk in your life rather than you going your path. And where is it going to lead? Destruction, death. But when you say, wait a minute, let me change this thing. Let me turn to God. Let me ask God for him to guide me. He leads you in the path of righteousness. You say, well, what if I'm going wrong? How do I come back? The same psalm that said God leads me in the path of righteousness says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And why are they following you? Because they know that you're going to need God's mercy. Amen. You're going to need his goodness. Because when you discover that you are dead wrong, one of the things that God tells you to do, just repent. Turn from that way. Turn to God's way. And then that goodness and mercy will be a part of your life. Yes, the God we serve is a righteous God, but he's also a merciful God. On the one hand, he is a God who cannot err. He does not practice unrighteousness. In him, John the writer said, in him is no sin at all. No sin. So don't think that God can be tempted to sin or that he tempts you to sin. That's your choice. That's your choice. That's my choice. And when we sin, he says, now there's a way that you can turn from that. Let's reason together. That's what he said through Isaiah. Let's reason. Let's talk this thing over. Let's come together and let's sit down and let's talk about where you are and what you need to do. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them like wool. This is this amazing God who is righteous, who does not need us, but chooses to love us. Isn't that amazing? Amen. This is this God. So as we go into this text, we ask ourselves, how in the world could this be wrong if they're talking about Jesus working a miracle? Ah, that's where we've got to dig into this passage and really find out what were they doing? Notice the text says, he charged them. You know how your parents, they'll tell you now, when you get to school, don't let other kids take your lunch. Or don't take other kids' lunch. You can almost see him putting his finger in their face. Look, don't do this. Does God have the authority to tell us, don't do this? You're absolutely right. I know you're grown, but you wouldn't be alive if God didn't give you breath. So you need to respect the fact that you've grown, but the one who gives you life is telling you, don't do this. Amen. He charged them. He looked at them. He said, don't go out and tell. Mm-hmm. Pause for a moment. Some of us love to tell. Some of us can't wait to tell. Chuck Swindoll tells this story about three preachers out on a boat, and for whatever reason, they felt like it was confession time. So one preacher says, you know, while we're out here, we really need to talk about some of our problems. And one preacher stood up and said, well, you know, I'll start it off. I got this problem with lying. I don't intend to, but I just don't tell the truth all the time. I need y'all to pray for me. And he said, yes, we'll pray for you. Next preacher said, you know, I just got this problem with gambling. It started with bingo. And then it just went to the other numbers that you play in. And I can't keep any money. I'm just having problems. Pray for me. Then they looked at the third preacher. And they were all wondering, what's your problem? He said, I got this problem with gossip, and I can't wait to get off this boat. we don't need to tell everything. We really don't. We really need to take our burden to the Lord. And I think sometimes the issues that we place on someone else's shoulders really would be better off on the Lord. Casting all your care upon him for what? He cares for you. He cares for you. So here's Jesus. Here's Jesus giving them this charge, telling them, don't tell anyone. Don't tell them about this. Why? Why would Jesus say that? And he said, but the more he charged them, the more they blabbed. They just put it out there. Now, what would seem like something innocent and something helpful to the ministry of Jesus, it looks good until you start investigating. And that's why we're talking about disobeying orders. What was it that Jesus wanted them to do? First of all, they didn't have all the facts. During the military time, I was a what they call communications specialist. We worked in the communications office, and we would publish information, and we would talk about things that our division, our unit was doing. And so it was our job to report things, right? And what they would tell you is don't report what you don't know. And they would teach us on the five W's, the when, the where, the who, the why, and the what. Don't, if you don't know the whole story, don't tell it. Now, they did not know the whole story. They were telling the what, but they didn't know who, and they certainly didn't know how. They knew when, but they were only telling part of it. If you don't know, don't say anything. Wrong stories have been published far too long with people that thought they knew. I know what you don't have a clue what I'm going through. And so they were telling something that they didn't have all the facts. Second thing about it is they pushed this healed man. Now, here's a man, if you go back and read the text, and I want to give you a little bit of background what was happening. They brought to him, they were in the city called the Ten Cities. You know, I thought Decapolis was one city, but it's actually representing 10 different cities. And they brought this man from that region into this area. They brought him to Jesus. You get this picture in your mind. Jesus is healing people. They bring this deaf mute. He cannot hear, and for that reason, he cannot talk. All right, you got it in your mind. Here he comes, and now they're bringing him to Jesus. Well, a whole lot to the text that you need to go back and read. They're telling Jesus how to heal him. They're telling him, you know, Lord, what you need to do is lay your hands on him. And when you lay your hands on him, and Jesus didn't do a thing they said. Isn't it amazing how people have answers for your life and they don't, you know, well, what you need to do is just shut up, please. I did say please. So here it was, they were telling Jesus how to heal this man, how to deliver this man. Jesus took him aside and he ministered to him. He touched his ears because that was his problem, not his head. He put his finger in his ear and he touched his ears. Then he spit and he touched his tongue. I know some of you are going, ew. Well, if you can't talk, you need somebody to help you. Amen. My thing is, any way you bless me, Lord, is all right with me. If the blessing come through a spit, amen, praise God. Hallelujah. That's God. Look at somebody, tell them that's God. What looks nasty to the world is all right because as long as God gets it through. So the point was, here it was, now this man is healed. Now remember, he's been deaf. And the NIV, the National International Version, it says that he could barely talk. So whatever words he could speak, they were not correct because he couldn't hear. We had a member of our church, Ms. Cabler's sister, that she couldn't hear, and so she would watch your lips, but she couldn't hear. Now, all of a sudden, they're wanting to publicize this thing, to put it on the news of Galilee. They wanted to put it on the great news of Decapolis. Man gets healed. And what they're looking for is public attention. But the last thing this man needs is public attention. Why? Because he has to listen and hear and learn. He's never heard birds singing. He's never heard the water going through a brook. And all of a sudden, people are in his face now. Tell me about how you get here. And he can barely speak. Never make a public spectacle of people. Never do that. Probably I'm guilty of it, but never do that. That man needed time to go to the synagogue and for the first time in his life hear the commandments of God being spoken. And what they were doing, just putting him up here in the spotlight, not knowing that they are threatening this man's spiritual security. Because he would almost be to the point where he's saying, you know what? I wish I couldn't hear. Now I'm hearing the wrong things. Now I'm hearing the wrong people saying the wrong things. And you don't want to put people in that position. Amen? Amen? So they're putting him in the public eye, in the public spotlight, which is a mistake. And that, for that reason, I believe that Jesus was telling them, don't tell. If anything, let him tell. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. Come talk about, amen. Here's what happened. No, if I'm not telling it, you don't know all the details. You don't know the facts. As the people that presented their young son or that had been healed of blindness, they said, he's old enough, let him tell for himself. Amen? But here's the third thing that really struck my attention. Not only were they without all the facts and they were pushing a person into the spotlight, but the third thing, they glorified the miracle. The only thing they could possibly tell was the miracle. Now, what happens when you put a miracle above a miracle worker? What happens when you put the creature above the creator? What happens when you take a thing and make it greater than the one who owns a thing? What happens when you take something that God did and you focus on what he did rather than who he is? You walk away with an idol. You walk away with something that really can't. That man's miracle, even though as great as it sounded, it can't change you. But if you talk about the one who worked the miracle, if you take time to study the one who made this happen, now you're getting somewhere. Jesus said, don't tell this because you don't know what you're getting into. You're building an idol. And that's where a lot of shrines and a lot of these objects of worship are developed. And that's where they're created because people are glorifying these things rather than God. And what did God say? Don't make any graven images. Don't make any images. I'm the living God. Well, who are you, God? I am that I am. There's nobody like me. I'm the living God. Anybody learning something today? So he said, don't tell. He said, don't tell. Now, how do we look at these things? Three takeaways that I want you to give you, and then we're going to look at some quick things that you can do in order to be obedient to God. First of all, disobedience is a sign of spiritual deafness. Spiritual deafness. I made some notes here that I think is interesting. They willfully disobeyed God. Mark 7 and 32. Some of the people brought this man who could barely talk, and yet they can barely hear. You get the point? He can barely talk. They can barely hear. He knows that he has a hearing problem, but they too have a hearing problem because they're not listening to what Jesus has said, and they're more interested in what God could do for them rather than knowing God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you one of the mysteries of life that you need to understand, and I need to keep over and rehearsing it over and over in my mind. It's not the things that God wants to give you, but God wants to give you himself. He wants you to live this life in him. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. God doesn't want to have a relationship where the only thing you do is ask him for stuff and then he gives you stuff. That's not a relationship. A relationship is where your life comes from him. You want to hear his voice. You're looking forward to worshiping him and thanking him. And more importantly, you're looking forward to walking with him. Amen. Enoch walked with God. He didn't just get God's blessing. Him and God would hang out. How's that? Wouldn't you love to hang out with God? As a matter of fact, you're doing it right now. What are you doing? I'm hanging out. I'm hanging out with God. I'm learning about his ways. I'm learning to listen and to pay attention to what he says. Because what he says is for your good. It's for your good. Disobedience is a sign of spiritual deafness. Second thing is, disobedience comes from a self-willed heart. Self-willed heart. I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it my way. Been doing this way all my life. Don't be telling me what I'm supposed to do. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I see a whole lot of old dogs getting run over. You better learn some trick. Get out of the way. Amen. And so what they were doing is that they were endorsing what the more Jesus charged them, don't say this, don't do this, the more they did it. The more they did it. It's interesting. I'll have people come to me sometime and they'll ask, Pastor, is it wrong to do such and such? Now, I tell them already you've got some kind of thought that it might not be right before you ask me that question. And so I want to help you out. I want to help you out because what's happening is you're struggling with your own will. Even though you might see somebody else doing it and you don't have any conviction, but you for you, it just doesn't sit well, as the old folks say. Are y'all in the house with me? So it doesn't sit well. So here it is that you got this thing of your own obedience that's on the line. Your own obedience to God, not someone else. This is you. So people come to me and they ask me the question, is it wrong to do this? And what they're really asking for is, if I give them my opinion or my interpretation, now they got a license. Pastor said, I can do this. You got a license now. Amen. And I used to go along with that. But now as I get older, I'm getting a little wiser. I'm saying, wait a minute, hold up here. Three things you need to think about. Number one, here's thing number one. Is there a verse in the Bible that talks about this? If there's a verse in the Bible that tells you specifically what you ought to do and what you ought not to do, case dismissed. Fair enough? Fair enough. Okay. All right. Second thing. Thing number two. Will it harm somebody? Either myself or someone else? You know, if you come to me and ask me, is it wrong to eat pork? That's your stomach. That's your mouth. Right? But now, if the pork gives you a headache, don't ask me that question. Ask your head. Right? Jesus has blessed all foods. He's blessed all. It says in the gospel, he's blessed all foods. So you don't have to worry about that, but if that food is causing you harm, or if it's something that's damaging your brother, for the sake of your brother, don't do it. Are we okay on that? All right, so those thing number one is there scriptures? Thing number two is, will it harm anyone, including myself? Then thing number three, will it bring glory to God? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says specifically, whatever you do. Paul just put that little catch-all phrase, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Amen. Oh, Pastor, I thought you were going to get, yeah, there it is. That's what you need to think about. If it's not going to give God glory, then you're only disobeying God's orders. Still with me so far. I'm wrapping up. All right, so we have to look at these things, disobedience that hinder the work of God. And what we want to do is actually start walking with God, participating with him. God has more miracles that he wants to perform in the lives of people. but he wants to use you as that change agent. He wants to use you in the capacity of now, rather than you just sitting back and getting blessed. He wants to use you as a blessing. Everybody with me? So here's how you become obedient with God. First of all, listen. Listen to learn. Matthew 11 and verse 29 and 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and" what? "Learn of me." Learn of me. "For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul." Listen to learn. I pity the child that goes to school and doesn't know how to listen. Some of them really do have a hearing problem, and so they are trying to get them fitted for audio devices that can help them to listen better. You know, and as you get older, your ears are they've heard so much, and so different frequencies have damaged them, and you have to get some type of hearing device so you can listen. But you must listen to learn, especially when it comes from God. Second thing is, learn to love what God loves. We want God to love the stuff that we love. We need to learn to love what he loves. That's where your heart needs to be. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your affection on things above where Christ sits." Don't set them on things on the earth. Things of the earth will pass away like a wind or like a cloud. Things of God will last forever. Set your affections there. Why do people get brokenhearted over losing stuff in this world? They got their affection on it. And when it's gone, they're devastated. "Oh my goodness, I lost my car." Guess what? I didn't go with the car. Hallelujah, somebody. Walking is better than being in a being dead in a car. Amen? So you got to think about loving the things that God loves. Then lastly, learn to follow. Learn to follow. Mark 10:52, and I'll tell the story and close. This blind man sat by the roadside begging. And he was outside of this city called Jericho, which was a dead city pretty much. And he spent his days begging. One day he heard that Jesus was passing by. And that man decided, "Today is my day to change. It's a good day for me to change. Jesus is coming by." And so he cried out to him, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." People said, "Shut up. Be quiet." But the more they commanded him to be quiet, he called out the more, "Jesus, when you need the Lord, you call on him. Amen. Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me." The Lord brought him to, they had said, "Have him to come." And the man came to him. He said, "What would you have me to do, Lord, that I might receive my sight?" And then after he had been made whole, Jesus says something specifically to him. He says, "Now, you've been healed. You've been delivered. Go your way. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Go your way." You know what the man did? The Bible says that he immediately followed Jesus in the way. In other words, let me think about what I've been doing. Sitting by the roadside, begging. Here's a man that healed me. And because he healed me, I'm going to walk with him. Amen. Isn't that the invitation of God to all of us? Amen. You don't know where you're going. You're just going to go from one thing to the other in life. But if you go with him, you'll always be in obedience to him. You'll never be in disobedience because you can't walk with the Lord and be disobedient. Judas is a classic example. That can't work. At some point, you're going to violate that relationship. And so Jesus says, "Come unto me, all that labor, and I'll give you rest." Isn't that amazing? That's the cure for disobedience. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for challenging us to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers. I pray that you speak to all of our hearts. And Lord, that we can resolve in our minds that we're going to walk with God and be obedient to your boys. We love you and we praise you. We ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. Going to give the invitation. If there be one today, we invite you to come. If there be one. Amen. Praise the Lord.